This is Movies for the Blind, episode 175, Bandwagon, part 2 of 2.
Get the police, get Scotland Yard, get everything!
Hello, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We continue with Bandwagon, based on a radio show on the BBC. While North America had various networks and local stations in the early part of the 20th century, the BBC was the only game in town in England, having sole control of the airwaves under a royal charter at the end of 1926. Though the BBC expanded to a couple other channels with different styles of programming, another radio broadcasting organization wasn't licensed there until 1973. And the only competition before that were various international American-style stations elsewhere in Europe, which were largely shut down when the Germans took over many transmitters during World War II. So you see why in this film there's so much competition for the ears of the prototypical broadcasting bureaucrat, Mr. Pilkington. Among those competing, Arthur Askey and Richard Stinker Murdoch, who were left waiting for an audition in Broadcast House and started living on the top floor for 3 months. Finally found out and tossed out with their furniture and animals, they hitched their car, the Askytoff 2, onto Pilkington's car and got towed to the countryside, where they got a deal for a castle that was too good to be true. Amid tales of haunting, they found themselves scared off by a ghost, but we know it's really the castle's old caretaker. Our boys are hightailing it from the castle as we catch up with them for the conclusion of Bandwagon. On the road.
What a place, Dickie.
Stinky drive.
We'd have stayed there another 5 minutes. I wouldn't have half had the wind up.
Yes, we're well out of it. Though, as a matter of fact...
Don't tell me. There's a perfectly natural explanation for everything.
Where are we going to now?
I don't know, but we can always ask when we get there.
Playing darts in the roadhouse. One of the band peeks out the doors.
Hey, Jack. There's a car coming down the road. They might be customers.
Right. Quick, boys. Up on the stand. Charles, fix the stable.
Everyone rushes about. As the Askytoff arrives outside.
Thank heavens, Dickie, here's some light.
Yeah.
They jump out.
Seems a bit posh. I hope they don't throw you out.
I'd even enjoy that after what we've been through.
Arthur and Stinky head inside Jack in the Box, with the doors open for them.
Gentlemen, can I get you a table?
No, show us where it is. We'll go to it.
Up this way, please.
They go to a table.
You'll get a good view of the cabaret from here, sir.
Sitting, Arthur blows open the menu.
Dinner is 10 and 6.
They start to bolt.
Would you like it a la carte?
A la carte. That's an idea.
They return to the table.
On the back, sir. Here it is, sir.
Oh, I see. Now, Truitt, Fumé 4 and 6, Jambon Fumé 6 and 6, Saumon Fumé 8 and 6. That's rather expensive. What is it?
That's French for smoked salmon, sir.
Oh, I suppose you haven't any bloater fumé.
Oh, certainly, sir. Moron, Fumé 4 and 6 the pair.
Oh, you shouldn't eat as many as all that. This is more like it, big vegetable soup, sixpence.
Yes, how much is the bread?
Bread is free, sir.
We'll have 2 plates of soup and a fourpenny loaf.
I beg your pardon, sir?
You heard the order, my man. 2 plates of soup and step in it. Step on it. Get the soup.
Beach.
Oh, very well, sir.
Charles walks off.
And no onions in Hades Corty.
Shut up, big, and listen to the band.
They turn to Jack's orchestra as the woman, Pat, steps out in a lovely flowing dress. She approaches the table.
Heaven will be heavenly, and surely she ought to know. All my life I've waited for a belated dream to come true. Now I know I was waiting.
She sings to Stinker, and Arthur cranes his neck to admire her.
Heaven will be heavenly, but heaven's far away. I can only live for today.
Stinky admires her as well. She offers her hands to Stinker, though Arthur gets up to dance with her. Stinker goes with her. swings her around in his arms among the chorus girls swaying in elegant long dresses. Arthur asks a table lamp to dance, shrugs, then sits. He turns to Stinker and Pat dancing happily together. He pretends the lamp is reconsidered. With a thumb up to confirm, he stands, bows gallantly, and picks up the lamp, holding it gently as he dances. Pat beams in Stinker's arms, and the orchestra sways, singing along. The chorus girls gather around Jack, who keeps directing. Arthur sits at the table, as Pat returns with Stinker and sits him down. Turns to Arthur. He shakes awkwardly and pulls out his photo of his girl, Nausea. She backs away.
Goodbye, Nausea. I'm slipping.
He rips the photo and runs to Pat. Jack intervenes.
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
Jackington.
Arthur Askey.
Go on, play some more. We haven't had nearly enough yet.
No, you wouldn't have had that if I'd known who we were playing to. All right, boys.
Stinker runs up.
Sorry, this little man gets so carried away.
Oh, you don't have to apologize. This is Jack Hilton.
Stinker and Pat gaze at each other.
Together at Walton on the Natty.
Oh, happy days. What are you doing here?
Well, we were passing and... Oh, this is my playmate, Stinker.
How do you do?
Stinker? Why do they call you that, or shouldn't I ask?
Oh, yes, do rather. Ask me anything you like. It's rather a long story. You see, my uncle...
Oh, don't start him on that.
Well, I'll tell you some other time. My real name's Dickie Murdoch.
Oh, and to complete the ceremony, I'm Pat Kirkwood.
Freddy runs in between them.
And I'm Freddy.
How do you do?
Lovely place you've got here.
Oh, the place is all right, but we don't get any customers.
What a shame. Do they know the bread's free?
No one would come this way in the dark.
Well, I can't understand that. You've got some lovely dark round here.
No, the castle up the road is the trouble.
Yes, it's haunted.
You're telling us.
It's our castle.
What? You mean you've leased it?
I don't know whether we've leased it or lost it, but it's ours.
You haven't seen the ghost, have you?
Seen him. He nearly clapped us to the brisket.
Were you frightened?
Oh, we weren't exactly frightened.
No, we were scared stiff. Oh, I just remembered. We've left our bag there and my clean comms are in it. It's no laughing matter. How am I going to cast the clap when May's out?
Go on, tell us what happened.
Well, we got to the castle and we went to bed and we just put the lights out when suddenly we're...
Arthur and Stinker hold each other.
What's that?
Sounds like someone at the door.
Who?
Freddy goes to a window and looks out.
Oh, my goodness.
What is it?
There's nobody there.
Don't worry. There's a perfectly natural explanation for everything.
What can it be?
It must be the postman. He always knocks twice.
Pat opens a door and finds Lewis carrying the neck ruff the caretaker was wearing.
Forgot all about it.
Poor old Lewis.
Oh, Lewis, meet everybody. Everybody, this is Lewis.
Pat takes the neck ruff.
What's this?
That? Go ahead, Lewis. That's the ham frill at the ghost wall.
This wasn't on any ghost.
I tell you, it was.
Well, if he was a ghost, he got his frill from Moss Brothers.
They check a tag.
You're right. Moss Bros. What does that mean?
It means that someone's been pulling your leg.
Go on, he said he was 500 years old. He wouldn't pull a leg at that age.
No, it's probably some chap living there rent-free, and he scared you away.
If I thought that, I wouldn't half go red.
If it were me, I'd go back and knock the stuffing out of him.
You will? Right, we'll come with you.
Hey, wait a minute. What about the roadhouse?
Oh, Freddy can look after that, and I'll come too. Anything to break this monotony.
Ah, it is a bit humdrum, isn't it?
Drop a little humdrum.
They rush off to get their things. Meanwhile, at the castle, the caretaker scuttles through the foyer with a lantern and a tea tray. Hanging the lantern on a mantle, he pushes a button in a nook beside it, opening a secret door. He gets the lantern and enters a dark passage, descending stairs to a room where a big man stands holding a gun in his pocket.
Oh, it's you, eh?
Yes, it's me. I brought the coffee.
Oh, wait here.
I don't mind.
The man crosses to a door, then opens it and enters a larger room where a camera is pointed at a man holding a blueprint.
My S-24 from the Air Ministry. It's a blueprint of the newest long-range bomber.
Another man speaks into a microphone while the camera's transmission plays on a monitor.
And let me know when you've finished.
He shuts the mic off.
What is it?
The old man. He's brought coffee.
Wait. All right, Carl, they've got that.
The blueprint is dropped and camera shut down. The mic is turned back on.
We are coming over to you now.
A military officer appears in the monitor.
So far it is all right. But what of the sabotaging of the ammunition works?
That also we have arranged. Carl is working now on the time bomb.
In a briefcase.
It is good. Now listen carefully.
Yes, Excellency.
He expects you tonight in Berlin for further instructions. Bring nothing incriminating with you. That's all. Nestoli.
The man stands.
Nestoli.
Where is the old man in now?
Wait. Is my bag on the plane?
Yeah, everything's fixed.
He steps to tell.
Is that ready?
Yes, all it needs now is winding up and the alarm setting.
Good, then put it away. All right, Mateo.
Tal puts the bomb case in a wall cabinet as Mateo, the big man, opens the door.
You can come in.
Evening, gentlemen. Hope the coffee's all right. I've kept as up as I can.
Pour it out and don't talk so much.
You are late.
Sorry, sir, but I've had a bit of an acting tonight.
What are you talking about?
I've had a couple of visitors.
Visitors?
Yes. All right, don't worry. I handled the situation all right. I put on that uniform you gave me and did a bit of haunting. That scared them. I wasn't half hairy. I frightened myself a bit.
Any danger of them returning?
They've gone all right, and they won't come back in a hurry.
But a castle front door opens, and Arthur leads the way into the foyer.
Don't make a noise, and we play old Jasper the Grasper at his own game.
What do you mean?
Well, he haunted us, didn't he? We'll snoop round till we find him, then we'll haunt him back again. But whatever you do, keep quiet.
He bumps into the armor, which falls.
I thought you said me to keep quiet.
So I did, but I hadn't started yet. Now I'm ready. Come on.
Arthur, Pat, Stinker, and Jack creak to the stairs. Down in the studio.
Hello, what are you, gentlemen? But it's long past my bedtime.
I'll be quiet.
When I let you come here to broadcast your baked beans, you didn't tell me you were going to keep me up all night.
Oh, shut up.
It's all very well for you to say shut up. Here, how am I going to get home? Last green line's gone. I ain't got my tricycle with me.
All right, you can come in the car with us and we'll drop you in town.
Here, you'll be careful how you drive, won't you? Know what you young fellas are in these cars.
The leader opens a secret door that slides up a couple feet.
This way, sir. Mind your head.
He bumps his head, then bends down further to follow the leader out with the others.
Hey, what about the lights?
We can twist them off at the bottom.
The last two leave and the door slides back into place. Across the studio, the first door opens and Arthur peeks in. He and the others enter.
Oh, it's a dentist. Where do we spit?
Do you notice something fishy about this place?
No, I can't smell anything.
This is the first room we've seen with electric light.
They've got a young power station here. Oh, it's a soda fountain. Now, what flavor would you like? Chocolate, raspberry, or vanilla? Raspberry? Right, you shall have it.
When a lever shocks him, he runs with Stinker.
Oh, Dickie, I've got sunstroke.
Haven't hurt yourself, have you?
No, but I can see a lot of lights.
So can I, you silly little man. You just switched them on.
Why? Look, here's a microphone.
Pat uncovers the camera.
And this is a camera. I know what it is. It's a television studio. And there's a screen.
They turn to the monitor.
Oh, what a bargain. And all for £3. Arthur, this is the biggest break we've ever had. We don't need the BBC now.
What?
That's right. We can broadcast without them. We can start in opposition.
What a swell idea. We can get the band and the girls and put on a terrific show and we'll... Oh.
What's the matter?
Does anybody know how to work this thing?
No. Wait a minute. I think Freddie does. He used to work in a radio shop.
Grand. Then we'll have our own station and call it the ABC.
What?
The ASCII Top Broadcasting Corporation. Come on, let's get Freddie. I know.
Later, the lead spy arrives at the general's office. He salutes.
Well, we are very pleased with your work, Schaffer.
Thank you, Excellency.
In the studio, Freddy looks at the camera.
What a lot of lovely catchkits.
Gadgets.
I said catchkits.
Well, can you make them work?
I think perhaps yes. Where is the screen?
The screen? You're not going to televise us in the rude, are you?
Oh, he means the screen we see you on. It's over there.
Oh, look, isn't it nice?
He plays with dials.
This little piggy went to market, huh? And this little piggy stayed home.
Oh, isn't that exciting?
Arthur hops to the secret door, which opens a little, then lowers. Freddy and Stinker watch it go up further.
Somebody in trap number one.
The caretaker enters. He tries to run off, but they stop him.
It's Jasper the Black Tooth.
No, I've never seen any of you before. Here, take your hands off me. Take your hands off me.
Who is he?
He's the old devil who gave us the willies last night.
Do you realize you're trespassing here?
Oh, no, I ain't. If you are, I'm caretaker here. I look after this place for the owners.
Well, we're the owners now, and I'm not quite sure that we need a caretaker.
Staircase.
A ghost chaser. Man to look after the place.
You're set.
Let go. He steps away.
And another bit.
What's all this ghost nonsense? You frighten the life out of us. You wait till we tell the estate agent about you.
Oh, dear. Oh, you wouldn't do that?
Yes, we would.
Well, the haunting wasn't my idea. I didn't mean no harm. You see, some gentlemen have got this place for commercial broadcasting, and they don't want no strangers about, see?
Hey, that accounts for the television studio.
That's right. They're showing their baked beans to the world.
Oh, are they? Well, we've got more than baked beans to show the world. Have these broadcasters rented the place?
No, I let the two of them on the side.
Oh, you did, did you?
That's another thing the estate agents would like to know.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
But we're not going to say anything because from now on you're working for us, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am. But you won't tell Mr. Obday, will you?
Not if you behave like a good boy.
No.
Jack, we've finished rehearsal. We're having a break now. Where can we get some coffee?
Oh, yes, Jack. We are thirsty.
Ask Old Faithful. He's a local lad. He'll show you.
Yes, come on, girl. Come on, that way.
He escorts Pat and the chorus girls out with a big grin.
I'm going to like working for you.
As he runs off, the others turn to Freddy at the control board.
Oh, I think I got it working. Will somebody stand in front of the camera?
I will. Oh, no, let me.
Oh, spoil.
Well, they've never seen me on the screen.
He stands in front while Stinker operates.
This is my best side. Although this is nearly as bad.
Don't muck about. Stand still.
Put this mic in front of the camera. Talk or sing or something.
One talk, one sing coming up. Anything, y'all? Oh, what a glorious thing to be. A healthy grown-up, busy, busy bee.
An older man listens to a radio in his home.
I've been very busy of late.
Pinching all the pollen from the colony flowers.
He turns to it, confused, as Arthur keeps performing.
Haven't you got me yet, Freddy?
Shut up and keep singing. I think I've got it.
Being just as busy as the bee can be, flying round the garden, the sweetest ever seen, taking back the honey to the dear old queen.
In the general's office, he and Shutter rush to a screen and switch on a transmission of Adolf Hitler.
Fire aus Plündern sollen! Ihnen gar nichts nützen, denn sie können ja kaufen.
If you like, but don't me.
It fades into a transmission of Arthur.
Being just as busy as a bee can be, flying all around the wild hedgerows, stinging all the cows upon the parson's nose.
Who is that?
I don't know, Excellency.
I'd like... Oh, Dickie, how much longer have I got to stand in this heat? My combs are all racking up, they're all around my waist.
It's working.
Stinker and Pat join him in front.
So it is. Look, we're all on that screen.
Oh, Dickie, and you didn't tell me my hair's all untidy. Here, watch me while I make a funny face.
He does, outraging the general.
Oh, you do look angry.
I think it's an improvement.
Look.
The general turns off the screen.
Himmeldonnerwetterwurm, your station is discovered. You must get back at once. Destroy all evidence. Leave nothing. Yes, Dickson.
Shutter leaves quickly. Meanwhile, in the studio...
Wait a minute, I think I've got another bite.
What?
Freddy hurries to the screen and turns dials until a blonde woman appears.
The BBC television station at Alexander Palace. Good morning, everybody.
Morning. Where's she coming from?
It's Alexander Palace. That means we're on the same wavelength.
This morning, instead of our usual demonstration film, Mr. John Pilkington is going to tell you something about our television plans for the future.
Pilkington? Oh, Dickie, it's the old battle axe himself. Here he comes.
Pilkington sits at a desk.
Ladies and gentlemen, in response to many earnest requests, I'm appearing in person before you this morning.
Earnest requests? Who'd ask him anyway?
Now, many of us are asking, what is the future of television?
And I bet you don't know the answer. Is he on our way, Greg?
Yes.
Well, go on, put me through. I'll tell him a few things. Go on, Jack, look out for the lights. Dickie, get the camera.
Arthur stands in front of the camera, and when Freddy activates their signal, Arthur's image appears beside Pilkington's.
You know, I'm always on the lookout for fresh talent.
Don't you believe it. You can't get near the old gentleman.
In fact, all of us up here are anxious to find new faces.
Ha! And blimey, you could do with it. Did you ever see such a clock in your life?
In the BBC studio, one official hurries to another one and gets him to step to a monitor where they see Arthur with Pilkington.
Very shortly, we hope to conduct a ballot.
Yes, vote for Pilkington for putrid programs. Boo!
Good heavens, where's that coming from?
It's not from this studio. It must be an outside station.
I have, however, some very good news for you all.
Don't tell us you're going to resign.
This is dreadful. Fade them out.
You can't. It's a pilot wavelength. Then fade out, Mr. Pilkington.
The second official runs to Pilkington's desk.
I'm sorry, sir. We've had to fade you out.
You've done what?
I'm terribly sorry, sir. We've got interference and...
Interference, sir? Do I understand that I've been faded out?
Now, perhaps if you come with me, sir, you'll understand what's happened.
Oh.
Pilkington stalks to the monitor.
Well, playmates, I've done you one good turn. I've got rid of him. And now I can tell you what really does happen. He says he spends his time searching around for fresh talent. Shall I tell you what happens when he finds it? He keeps it hanging about for 3 months and then gives it the sack.
Scoundrel, I'll fade him off instantly.
I am sorry, sir. I can't. It's a pirate station.
Pirate station? Why the...
Him and his experts. Why, I could do better than him with my hands tied behind my back. And what's more, I will. You tune in on this wavelength at 8 o'clock tonight and I'll show you. I'll show you some of the talent that he's missed. Jack Hilton and his band. Pat Kirkwood. Arthur Askey. Richard Murdoch.
Pilkington shuts it off.
I'll have this man in jail. Get the police. Get Scotland Yard. Get everything! I want that station traced.
Yes, sir.
Later, newspaper boards have headlines about the television pirates and their upcoming program. The castle foyer is bustling with preparation as Arthur and Stinky set up a table.
Yes, it's all jolly well saying it'll be all right on the night, but this is the night, and we're on in half an hour.
Well, let's tell a few old jokes and call it Chestnut Corner.
What else?
Freddy rolls the camera by on an old tricycle.
Here, we might try that waiter joke.
Oh, yes, waiter, have you a wild duck?
No, but I've got a tame one I could aggravate for you.
A trombone player warms up.
Oh, well, we have to go.
They walk off in front of the camera toward the chorus girls.
Oh, Dickie, I've just thought of another one.
What is it?
Would you like to see a photograph of me taken when I was in hospital?
Ah, there.
There you are. I'm in the end bed.
Yes, but the end bed's empty.
Is it? I must have got out for a minute.
Now, Jack hurries up.
Come on, Stinky. At least Stinkers are here.
Oh. Yeah, Stinker!
He takes him to a large woman, a slight woman, and a portly man in a tux.
I'll keep you waiting.
Good evening, Mr. Murdoch.
Brought your music with you?
Yes, Mr. Murdoch. Murdoch.
Good. Now, I want to put a straight quartet in.
Arthur joins him.
What is this, the balloon barrage?
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm not doing much at the moment, old boy, but I shall be when we start to sing.
Sing? You're not singing in this?
Oh, go on, let me sing. Good evening, girl.
They turn away haughtily.
Am I popular?
But you don't know this work.
Oh, just show me the hard bits. I'll get on all right.
All right, there's the copy.
Tom.
Now, you see here, you start and dance.
And uncle.
What do you mean, and uncle?
You have auntie, you must have uncle.
I didn't say anything about auntie or uncle. I said and dancey, meaning slow.
Oh, I didn't know.
And in this bit, you see, you sing Bouche Fermée.
Who?
Not who, Bouche Fermée.
Never heard of him.
Bouche Fermée means mouth shut.
Oh, I see what you mean. And do the girls keep their mouth shut too?
In that part, yes.
That'll take a bit of doing, won't it?
That's very rude.
Well, if that's quite clear, we'll make a start.
Hey, wait a minute. I better have a cut at this plume de martant business.
Bouche Fermée.
Bouche Fermée.
All right, John.
You have to keep your lips closed.
Do you know this quartet from the oratorio, Old King Cole?
Oh, this is easy.
Easy for you. You've got very little to do in it. Now, are we ready?
Here, don't you think we'd better give the girls a bit of a start?
What do you mean, give them a start?
Well, let them sort of start, and we'll catch them up as we go along.
Certainly not. We all start together.
Here, have either of you two ever said anything by yourselves?
No.
No?
Are we ready?
Just then, go, piece.
Stinker directs as they all hold their scores. They sing together.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he.
A merry old soul was he.
The Stinker sings with the others. Arthur giggles.
There are no bagpipes.
No bagpipes?
No bagpipes.
And no dance?
No dance.
Oratorio.
They flick their scores.
Old King Cole.
Old King Cole. Old King Cole.
Old King Cole.
Cole.
Hey. There is no coal.
No coal.
No coal.
No bagpipes.
No dance.
No dance. Oratorio. He called for his pipe.
He called for his pipe.
He called, yes, he called for his pipe.
2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 2.
There's no 2, 3, 4.
No 2, 3, 4.
No coal.
No coal. No bagpipes. No dance. Oratorio.
He covers in the fifth. He covers in the fifth. He covers in the fifth.
All but Arthur hold their scores high to the right. When they go the other direction, Arthur's score bumps into Stinker's, and Stinker gets Arthur turned around, then gets him to face them again. Slapping Arthur.
That's very rude.
The large woman walks off with half the back of her gown torn off, displaying her bloomers. Stinky and Arthur turn back to find Lewis with fabric in his mouth.
Come on, boy.
Arthur takes it. And the other opera singers stalk away with the piano player. Behind the camera, Freddy blows into a speaker to the caretaker downstairs.
How is the picture coming over?
He checks the screen.
Looks terrible to me.
It's blurry.
There's something there. I can't see what it is. It's all fluffy.
Oh, maybe it's out of focus, but keep watching. Hey, Ada, find me a board or something to focus on.
A board? God. Oh, I know.
Arthur runs to the table and pulls out a drawer, then dumps it out and holds it up.
How's that? No, something with writing on it.
Or something in white.
Searching through the dumped out papers, he pulls out the blueprint.
How's that? That's fine.
He runs in front of the camera and holds it up. Elsewhere.
What do you make of it, Clinton?
Looks like a bunch of amateurs to me, sir.
Three men look at a television.
What's that? FP-42. That's one of the plans missing from the Air Ministry.
As the first man goes to a desk, Pilkington enters the room.
Have you found anything? I think we've found more than we were looking for.
He turns to the television, where Arthur smiles from behind the blueprint.
There he is. That's the scoundrel.
The first man answers a phone.
Hello? Who? Hobday? What? Pirate station?
This man, Askey, you're looking for. Is there a reward? Good. Well, I can tell you where he is. He is at Droom Castle.
That's all we want to know. Thanks. He's at Droom Castle in Sussex.
Ah.
They all leave the room. Later at the castle...
Go on, go! Get ready as quickly as you can! Listen, it's 7:55, 5 minutes to go, so set your watches by mine.
That's right, the show starts from today.
I wonder if old Tin Ribs has got the right time.
Oh, what do you want to worry about him for?
He's going to time the show.
I think we'd better give him a blow in any case.
Arthur blows down the speaker.
Hello?
Set your watch now.
Say what? I'm going to watch. Oh, here you are, friend, a lovely clock. Here, off and out. It's a beauty.
Opening the cabinet, the caretaker gets the time bomb case.
Now, what time do you say it was?
Nearly 1 minute to eight.
Nearly 1 minute to...
He sets the time on it.
We start at 8 o'clock sharp.
Yes, I know what time we start. What time do we finish?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. All right, I'll set the alarm for 9 o'clock.
He sets the bomb.
Here you are. See?
Get ready. We're nearly on. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
Arthur hops behind the camera. With Pat in front of curtains before the camera, Stinker runs to a mallet.
59 7/8. Go!
He knocks a milk bottle, pot, pipe, and pan, then runs behind the curtain. As Pat quiets the noise, Stinker runs through the curtains.
Hello, everybody. This is the Esketoff Broadcasting Company. This morning we promised it, and tonight you're going to get it. A brand new scintillating epoch-making show. Ladies and gentlemen, Bandwagon.
Stepping from the mic, he opens the curtains. Jack leads out a horse, which Freddy rides while playing kettle drums. The horse pulls a big wagon on which the orchestra plays.
Bandwagon, come on and make a trip upon the bandwagon. It's a wild boys, it's a bandwagon. Come on and make a trip and join the bandwagon. Starting now, boys.
Jack steps away and one of the band climbs down. Freddy tries to climb down from the horse, but has trouble getting around a drum. As the rest step down, three of the band sing.
Travel on the bandwagon, come on and make a trip upon the bandwagon. It's a wild boys, take a trip, take a trip.
They get down as well, stepping past the organist to join the others on a bandstand.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I shall endeavor to entertain you with a few...
I say, Stinker!
Arthur joins Stinker at the mic.
That's too high for me.
Oh, yes, that's about your size.
No, I'm not wee Georgie Wood. Here, I want to whisper to you.
Carl, it's rude to whisper.
Be much ruder if I said it out loud.
Oh, go and get ready. We're going to a dance tonight.
Oh, I forgot about the dance. Yeah. You know, I don't know whether to wear my evening dress or my ratting suit.
Evening dress or your ratting suit? Mm. Well, you can't go wrong in evening dress.
Right, I'll wear my ratting suit. By the way, who are you going to take to the dance?
Well, I think I shall take Violet.
Violet? Violet who?
Violet Ray.
Violet Ray. Oh, I know her brother. Hip hip.
Who?
Ray.
Who are you going to take?
I'm going to take North, yeah.
Yes, but she can't dance, can she?
No, she can't dance, but all can that baby set out.
Oh, da 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 da.
Bomb, port, and lemon, and she's mine.
You know, Big, honestly, you don't look the sort of little man who takes girls out to dances.
Damn. What was I laughing at? Do you remember?
I don't know.
I can't think. I'll go and ask my mother. Mother!
He walks off.
And now that we've got rid of him, Pat Kirkwood and I will give you our version of The Only One Who's Difficult Is You. Okay, Jack?
He runs off as Jack directs the orchestra. On a garden set, Stinker and Pat sit on a bench.
Honey, you're so lovely.
But I seem so hard to get.
Honey, you've refused me.
Since the very day we met.
Honey, have some pity, for you know I love you so. Tell me one thing, just the one thing, that I'm wanting to know.
You'd fix things right away, if you could have your way.
The only one who's difficult is you.
She grins and he holds her arms. Meanwhile, people gather at shop windows to watch the broadcast on televisions.
Wouldn't they?
Staff and officials watch at the BBC.
Because it's you.
Men watch in pubs, smiling.
Excuse of old day for you to say, you'll be mine.
Oh, the choir is ready to sing, and the bells are willing to ring.
The only one who's difficult is you.
Stinker stands, but so does Pat.
You'd fix things right away if you could have your way.
The only one who's difficult is you.
They walk off. Arthur's dressed as a preacher.
The preacher's quite okay.
And at the organ.
And I'll be there to play.
The only one who's difficult is you.
Arthur pretends he's in a radio studio.
The weather report for Sunday says bright sunshine.
A suitable day for you to say.
You'll be mine.
Arthur's in a choir.
The choir will sing.
Rings a bell.
The bells are ringing to ring.
And plays Cupid.
The only one whose difficult is you.
He shoots his arrow, then looks around for it. A line of musicians and a line of chorus girls wait outside church doors, watched on television by a crowd outside the shop, and by staff at the BBC, and by blokes at the pub. With the doors open, Stinker and Pat walk through in wedding finery, and rice is tossed between the two lines. They stop and kiss, but Arthur runs up to get a kiss from Pat. Stinker hustles him away, but another man in a top hat runs up to kiss her. Stinker grabs him and turns him around and finds it's Arthur. He hustles him away and offers his arm to Pat, who takes it. A door opens, and Stinker leaves men's and ladies' shoes out in a hall, then closes the door with a sign reading, Do Not Disturb. It opens again and Arthur is shoved out.
The only one who's difficult is you.
His jacket is thrown at him. Meanwhile, at an airfield.
Sounds like him.
Yes, we'll soon know what it's all about.
He's in a hurry, all right.
A small plane taxis before the other spies in their car. Shudder rushes to them.
We got your message? What has happened?
Our station has been found. We must be quick. Back to Doom Castle and hurry.
They drive off. At the castle.
And now, customers, we can't avoid it any longer. Here is big-hearted Arthur in person.
Stinker lowers the microphone as Arthur dances up. Then goes limp like a ventriloquist dummy.
Well, little man, what are you going to sing?
Well, I don't know, Governor. What would you like me to sing?
Something short?
Yeah, go on, hop it. Don't be so rude.
I'll announce it myself.
Stinker rushes off behind the camera, where Freddy gives him his hat and headphones.
A bit on the bright side. I think you better get Grandma to bed. Go on, Grandma, hop it. Have an early night. There she goes. Dear old Grandma. Good, you old faggot. So here it is, playmates. A pretty little bird am I.
I don't know.
A Stinker operates the camera. Freddy joins the band, and Arthur prances about. Then checks some notes. Putting them away, he turns to the camera.
My heart is like a singing bird, what wins its way from pole to pole. My heart is like a singing bird, my liver's like a dry bed, so ha ha, hee hee. Oh, little brown chap, don't I love thee? I sing, 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 I fly, fly, fly. A pretty little bird am I, yi, yi. A pretty little bird am I.
He skips in a circle past Jack directing the orchestra.
My father's like a singing bird.
The blokes keep watching from the pub.
Black, he's always singing at his work. And 16 times he's had the sack. Ha ha, hee hee. Oh, little brown ale, don't he love the icing?
Downstairs, the caretaker watches.
Let me see it. Come and see your Uncle Arthur get off his queen's door.
Am I?
He skips around some more, tapping Jack's shoulder.
My heart is like a singing bird, although I'm poor and badly fed. And when my voice is worn away, I'll beg my door from bread to bread. Ha ha, hee hee. Oh, little brown workhouse, I love thee, I sing.
The crowd at the BBC has grown.
A pretty little bird, am I, ay, ay. I'm going to fly away. Bye, bye.
Spitting on his hands, Arthur pretends to fly away, then rises into the air, swinging back and forth across the foyer. Freddy watches as he plays, and Arthur waves his arms gracefully. He circles over Freddy. He cranes his neck. Arthur sticks his tongue out at Freddy, who feels something on the back of his neck. He glares up, but Arthur turns away. Freddy picks up a clarinet and fires it like a gun, bringing Arthur down. Arthur slowly returns to his feet, undulating his arms like a dying ballet swan. He stumbles a little, but dances with tiny steps toward Freddy, who threatens to fire again, so Arthur shrugs and dances the other way. He hops delicately to one side and another, getting a crick in his back. Freddy takes aim again. Arthur freezes, falls to his knees, onto his hands, and sticks his bottom up in Pilkington's car.
We're nearly there, sir.
Back at the castle, Jack directs the orchestra, then steps to the mic.
Now we're going to give you the rage of two continents, that crazy number, Bumps a Daisy.
In turn-of-the-century gowns, Pat leads the chorus girls down the stairs.
In the naughty 90s, ladies were so gay. In the naughty 90s.
They meet Stinker and other gentlemen on the floor.
Dancing as light as the feather.
They pair up.
Bumping their bustles together. And Bumps a Daisy. I like a bustle that bends.
Pat goes to Jack. Freddy does the dance with Arthur.
Oh, don't be lazy, let's take the party out. Well, then hand me.
They miss bumping bottoms.
Daisy, turn to your partner and bow, bow, bow.
They all touch hands, then their own knees, then bump each other's bottoms.
I like the puzzle that
the slight lady opera singer bumps the portly male one off balance. He hurries back to her. The spy's car arrives outside the castle. Shudder and the others jump out and look through the windows.
Donna, there's hundreds of them. And they've got our sit there.
There's the table.
What table?
The table the friends are in.
The large lady opera singer dances with Arthur. Who bumps her off balance. She blows him down. He gets to his knees and continues their dance. Outside.
Hey, will you come with me? I'm saying to stay here with the car and keep the engine running.
Shudder and Mateo burst into the foyer. They rush through the dancing and pass the camera to the drawer on the table, where they search through the papers unnoticed. Dancing with his partner. Arthur notices them. He steps away to Stinker with Pat.
Look, Stinker, gate crashers.
They dance together to the spies.
What are you doing here? Come
on. Hello, what's this table?
Yeah, my suit. It's got to go back.
Oh, never mind your suit. What have you done with them?
There it is on the floor.
Couples dance on the blueprint and kick it around. As they hurry to it, Mateo gets tackled, and Shudder gets bumped down. Arthur and Stinker run to Shudder as he stands with the blueprint and restrain him in front of the camera.
The camera, you're spoiling the picture.
They hustle him off. Mateo stands with a gun, but Pat hits him with a hat, and Stinker brings him and Shudder down, where Arthur knocks them out with a milk bottle and pipe. As the boys drag them by their feet, Pat rushes to the camera.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll be listening to the first episode of our crime serial, Dick Daring of the Yard.
Watching at the Daily Express office, a man picks up a phone.
Jonah Barrington here. Give me Paul Hope.
The spies are tied up in the bedroom.
Sorry, cop, but the show must go on.
The boys run off. Then back to Freddy at the camera.
How do we go for time? I make it 4 to 9.
10-2 by mine.
What do you make it, Biggs?
March is our fast rate.
Well, somebody get the right time from somewhere. We must be off the air before the BBC come on at 9.
Oh, baby, ask the old man.
He blows in the speaker.
What's the time?
I can't be bothered with the time. I want to watch the show.
You old fool, somebody got to keep the time.
No, fool, I'm not. You can keep the time yourself.
Well, bring the clock here and I will.
The caretaker sets down the speaker.
I think he's ordering about. See myself run up and down the stairs for him.
Lewis rears up nearby.
Lewis, you can take it.
He picks up the time bomb and attaches it to Lewis's collar.
Go on now, take it to Uncle Freddy, and have a nice
cue
with his
dad.
Go on. Go on, go on.
In the bedroom.
Where are those other fools? They must know that something is wrong right now.
Lewis enters.
Look, time bomb. Listen, it's ticking.
It reads 6 to 9.
Holy mother, it is going off in 5 minutes.
He wanders toward them.
Go away. Go away. Get away. Go away.
He turns and heads out. As Arthur dances before the camera, Lewis comes down the stairs. Another car arrives outside. The remaining spies jump out of theirs, but officials and police swarm them. Lewis wanders past the camera, and as Arthur and Jack finish, Pilkington runs in.
That's the man. Arrest him.
Here, let go.
They restrain Arthur and Jack.
Take your hands off me.
I charge these men with obstruction of public services and trespass on the BBC charter.
So do I, and I defy you to prove it.
All right, take them away.
Boys, come on, boys.
The musicians struggle with the police. Watching in the pub.
Look, the cops have got him. It's the most exciting program I've ever seen.
Another man watches at the Daily Express.
Pilkington, I'm glad I've caught you, sir.
What the devil are you doing down here?
This stunt of yours is a sensation, sir.
What stunt?
This show you've just televised, sir. Everyone in London's talking about it.
I tell you, Paul, this is terrific.
At last, somebody's thought of an original end.
Oh, I've an urgent communication, sir, from Sir Angus McBee.
Chief?
Yes, sir.
He opens a letter and reads.
Congratulations on magnificent publicity campaign. Bandwagon must be regular feature. Signed, Angus McBee.
Whippee!
Berlin!
Great!
That's another one up his shirt.
Help!
They all turn to the landing.
Before we are blown to bits, there's a goat here with a time bomb on him. Look! There he is down by the camera.
They turn to Lewis with the bomb. And hurry away across the foyer.
Stop! Stop, everybody! Stop! It's our goat! Yes, we know how to handle him. Quiet, everybody!
The boys creep toward him.
Come on, Lewis. Come on, sit down. There's a good boy.
He just stands there.
Don't be frightened. Come on, Lewis.
And the alarm goes off. Lewis steps toward them, making everyone run. He chases the boys out the castle doors, and they all run outside and into the night. When the debris settles, the boys sit up, disheveled.
And that, playmate, is how Bandwagon came to the BBC. And hang on.
The end. This described version of Bandwagon was produced for Movies for the Blind. And that was Bandwagon. It's true that the BBC was ahead of the U.S. in television, starting service in London in 1936. It would be suspended for the war, but back in 1946. Its first competition, ITV, which I mentioned with Jack Hilton last week, hit the airwaves 10 years later, with pirate broadcasts more the domain of radio, until regulations there loosened up. Our next film is also based on a radio show. But this one was from the USA and may remind younger folks of TV shows like Cannon and Jake and the Fat Man.
I'm looking for Mr. Runyon.
Oh, boss is getting ready to eat, ma'am.
It's important.
Well, nothing's more important to the fat man than eating.
Splendid, Louis, splendid. Give my compliments to the chef.
Dr. Bromley is dead.
What's that got to do with me?
He had an appointment to see you tonight.
That was before he fell to his death.
And you don't think there was anything wrong about the accident?
Look, when I came to, I was propped up in a linen closet.
Maybe the same little fellow with a happy blackjack was the one the doc wanted to talk to me about.
Now that you mention robbery, there was something missing.
Oh?
An X-ray plate.
Who's the patient?
A man named Roy Clark.
I hadn't seen him for years. Evidently, he'd had a pretty tough time of it.
Maybe Pat knows.
Who's Pat?
Fami was sweet at the Anchor Club in Hollywood.
Pat, there's something I gotta tell you.
You don't have to. Everything begins now, right now.
I did time in state prison for 6 years. I've only been out a short time.
I love you, Roy.
You think Gordon was part of the caper?
Adds up, doesn't it?
Except why some innocent little doctor was tossed out of an 18th-story window.
Yeah, that's where the arithmetic doesn't total up.
Rock Hudson is the missing person in The Fat Man. Next time on Movies for the Blind. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. Also, check out the Movies for the Blind page on Facebook and the channel on YouTube. The MP3s are hosted by Blind File Sharing, with easy, affordable, and accessible file storage and transfer with visually impaired users in mind. To find out more, visit blindfilesharing.com. And the movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.